please welcome to the stage, host of Permadeath Weekly, Bill Conway.
Good afternoon to all of you here today at the Tower Theater in Los Angeles, and to everyone out there watching this live. Whether you're here at the first annual Podcast Entertainment Expo or home on your couch, we are proud you are a part of Permadeath Nation. We started this event to get you closer to the action than ever before, and we think you're going to be happy with a lot of the initiatives that we have lined up, not just for today's conference, but for you to listen to on the show floor. But before we get into what's in store for the next generation of Permadeath Weekly, I wanted to take a moment to apologize to each and every one of you. When I started Permadeath Weekly, the team and I were ecstatic to get a weekly product out the door for you. There was a lot of skepticism within the community that we could sustain a product like Permadeath Weekly without some kind of catch. And we assured you, I assured you, each and every time it was addressed, not to worry about how the product gets made. Just relax and enjoy the free weekly service. Well, in this instance, the community was right. And we here at Permadeath Weekly did not uphold our end of the bargain. We let a six-month period go by without service, and for that, I am truly sorry to you all. That's why today, on this stage, I am announcing a new initiative. Xbox Permadeath Weekly Game Pass. With Xbox Permadeath Weekly Game Pass, everybody who is a part of Permadeath Nation gets access to an ever-expanding library of Permadeath Weekly episodes on demand to your device every single week. And I am proud to be able to say that Xbox Permadeath Weekly Game Pass will cost you $0 a month. That's right. The power of a weekly promise delivered right to you every Friday for nothing. And to show you just how committed we are to this epic initiative and how committed we are to our devotion to you, we are shadow dropping the next episode of Permadeath Weekly right now on this stage. Ladies and gentlemen, your Friday, January 10th episode of Permadeath Weekly. Welcome to Permadeath Weekly for the week of January 10th, 2020. That is right. Double it on up. We are back here in front of the microphone. It has been 6 months since the last episode of Permadeath Weekly, and I know that goes against the name of the show, but things just don't always work out the way they're supposed to. You get it? Not only have I not spoken to you guys for the past 6 months, I haven't spoken to anybody for the past 6 months. I've been in stasis. That's why there's been no episode. Y'all understand? People want to jump down my throat about it. Bill, where's the show? Where's the show? Where's the show on my Twitter? You realize why I haven't responded? I've been stuck. I've been stuck in a science project at Volantis Academy Podcast School. They've had me stuck in a tube. Do you understand? They were experimenting on our bodies to try to make us podcast machines that don't miss. And well, ironically enough, I missed 6 fucking months of the show. Last episode was July. It's sad. I've missed a lot of things in life over these last 6 months. I've missed Triscuit crackers. I've missed taking socks off. But I have, most of all, missed doing the show for you. Now, this week, kind of a... it's not really the biggest news week, but there's been a lot of big news that has happened since the last time we spoke. We got next-gen console announcements, logo announcements, directs, fucking like Gamescom, the Game Awards, all this stuff that I could have covered that I just didn't.
I didn't, because life just gets in the way, right? Anytime you set a schedule for yourself, a weekly schedule, whatever, for yourself, it just all goes down the toilet. But I think, because we as humans do this every single year, right? Every time New Year's comes around, it's always like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You know, the New Year's resolution portion of the holiday sets in and everyone makes fun of each other. You know, it's like, oh, you're not going to do that. You're not going to work out. You're not going to do that. Even if we aren't, even if we have no intention of ever reaching our goals, you know, if there's no realistic possibility of me ever looking like Henry Cavill in The Witcher. Dude, first of all, sidebar, that guy's fucking cut, okay? He's a freak of nature. I watched The Witcher. I might have Google image searched a bunch of pictures of Henry. That guy's a freak. A fucking freak of nature who not only is just striking to look at, but the man's busting out of his costume. Literally. There's articles about his cut muscles cutting the leather armor. Piece by piece. The man's an unstoppable machine. Witcher, very good show, by the way. But no matter how much you want to laugh at everybody for, you know, getting their resolutions in order. Oh, I'm gonna paint. I'm gonna learn how to paint. I'm gonna become a pianist. I'm gonna learn how to dance. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. And everyone's like, oh yeah, sure you are. It's the one time of year where all of these human beings can sit down for 1 second and try to be hopeful about their lives. You know, amidst everything that goes on every single day, every single week. You know, people have it very hard. We have it very hard. People around me have it very hard. You know, things happen that you can't control. And there's that little glimmer of hope in your eyes, right, around New Year's, where you decide, I'm going to do things better. And whether you actually do it or not, most of the time, I do not. If you listen to the Permadeath for a long time, we do our yearly goals. Most of the time, I never hit those. But I set the bar high for myself. We set the bar high for ourselves. Because it's fun to want to be hopeful about your life. It's fun to want to, I would fuck it, say fun. I would say it's very important to want to be hopeful about your future, you know, and it's been especially reflective this year because it's like for a lot of people, most people, depends who you talk to. If you're talking to your normal friend, it's the end of the decade. If you're talking to it's Frankenstein's monster. They're the people who are telling you it's not the end of the decade. Depending on who you're talking to, it's the end of the decade. And so a lot of people are reflecting on the last 10 years of their life. I mean, it's always the end of a decade, but it's especially poignant for a lot of people because we're entering 2020. We're entering a brand new, you know, we've turned the corner on the calendar here. We're out of the tens. We're in the 20s. 10, 10, 220. So a lot of people are especially reflective and looking back even deeper than usual. And, you know, we get our listicles, you know, we get all of that stuff. But I mean, we have a lot of personal posts and a lot of personal reflection going on. So, you know, as much as it's fun to make fun of myself for not hitting my weekly goal, it's important to want to try to do things better for yourself. And, you know, we all need that. That's why, you know, as much as it's funny to laugh at people doing New Year's resolutions, as much as it's funny to, you know, laugh at my jokes about how I can't do this show right, you know, it's important to be supportive when somebody tells you they're going to do something instead of scoff at them, you know. Just let them scoff at themselves when they don't do it, you know. Because God knows there's enough going on in everyone's lives. Just like there's a lot going on in the lives of those ready to play new Pokemon content in the year 2020. Today, the day that I am recording this, we had our Pokemon Direct. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've been meaning to come back and start weekly back up for a long time now, for months. One might say 6 months. I've been meaning to really get the ball rolling here. But I've been a bit more energized. I mean, the main thing that kind of pushed me over the edge was this Pokemon Direct today. I'm like, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about what we saw today, because I think for a lot of people will look at it and see, oh, they announced DLC for Pokemon. Yay, you know. But what I see is a total shift in how Game Freak does Pokemon Generations, which I think is super interesting to think about going forward, what this means. If this will be a one-off, I guess it depends how successful it is, but, I mean, who the fuck are we kidding? It's going to be successful, considering how much Pokemon Sword and Shield have sold. Just an absolute bastard load of copies that this game has shoved out the door. It's been quite impressive, especially in, you know, the face of the controversy around Pokemon Sword and Shield's development and the content within the game. And with that in mind, this was an announcement that was bound to upset some people, you know, because it is paid DLC for a game that a large portion of the internet thinks is a piece of shit, is lacking content, is garbage, whatever you want to say. But I don't want to feed into that rhetoric on this episode. I don't even want to be combative towards those people. Now, naturally, it's going to be difficult because I am one of the people who likes Sword and Shield. I'm one of the people who maybe I might be one of the people who's also not the best person to go to for like finding out if like, hey, is this a new Pokemon game good for Pokemon fans or like for the hardcore? It's like, I honestly can't tell you. That'd be like asking me what I think about Star Wars. You know, these are two things that I really like and I enjoy them both very, very much. Pokemon, I have a much larger fondness for just from my childhood than Star Wars. But as of 2020, it's like, I like both of these franchises. I take part in both of these things. But I mean, I'm not personally invested in either of them at this point, as much as the people mad on the internet are, for me to like be upset at anything that happens with either of them. You know what I mean? Like, I walked out of Rise of Skywalker and I was like, oh, that's a fine movie, I guess. But I didn't feel like, oh, you motherfucker, I stole my $5. You know, I don't get heated about any of them to the degree that people on the internet do. So to find a take from me, a hot take from me on any of these things, I'm the wrong person to go for that. So, I mean, keep that in mind when I tell you that, you know, I liked Sword and Shield. I really didn't have too many problems with Sword and Shield. I'm excited about these expansion passes, not just for what they add to Sword and Shield, but for what they mean for Pokemon. So if you're not familiar with Pokemon, what they usually do, what the precedent has been for the entirety of Pokemon's life is they'd release the new generation, you know, Gold and Silver, for example, Generation 2. Then, I mean, and this was the way back then because there was no way to pump out DLC for Game Boy games. They would release Gold and Silver, and then they would release an updated version of Gold and Silver, or whatever generation it was, with new stuff added to it. Quality of life stuff, new content, some new areas, Pokemon, whatever it might be. And in Gold and Silver's case, it was Pokemon Crystal. You know, and we would get the generation revision. With Sun and Moon, we had Ultra Sun and Moon. So everyone assumed that's what we would be doing again. You know, because why wouldn't they? That's literally been Game Freak's MO forever. For the history of Pokemon. But instead, they're building on the base of Sword and Shield, which is what those revisions always were. But instead of making you buy another $60 game, you know, Pokemon Mace, or whatever the fuck it would be called, you just get to buy a $30 expansion pass. And they'll be putting out two new wild areas with new characters and story and new Pokemon and rivals and stuff like that to catch and fight and battle and train and do whatever you do as a Pokemon master. Removing the generation revisions. Now, for me, I think that's awesome. And I think that's the right way forward for Pokemon. I mean, in 2020, that's the right way forward for any live game. You'll want to put content out for the base. You don't want to release another version of the game and split people up, especially when, you know, you have a game with a community, a battling, you know, an online competitive community, you know, and you have Pokemon being traded and all these things. So being able to take my save file with all my history on it, you know, like my battles, my badges, my Pokemon, my Pokemon's levels, you know, and just, hey, the Crown Tundra's out. Let me just walk on in there with my trained up team and whoop some ass with new raids and you know, new wild area stuff. That's a really great step forward for how you build upon Pokemon in the modern generation of video game systems. So I was very surprised at that announcement today. I wasn't expecting that. A lot of people didn't know what to expect from the Direct. Would it have been, you know, revision? Would it have been a remake? People are waiting on that. Fuck, what is it? Is it Diamond and Pearl that they're waiting for the remake for? I honestly don't know. I haven't been paying attention. people were expecting who knows what, you know? Instead, we got a vision of what the future of the franchise might look like from going here forward. What comes after Sword and Shield? You know, will the next gen of Pokemon do the same thing? I imagine it will. It's the way you release content nowadays for games. I'm as happy that Pokemon Sword and Shield is taking on the form of a live game. You know, and it's especially important because of the way they do the raids, because of the way this game, you know, connects players. you know, still a little rough on that point, the way he connects players. It would be nice, you know, with one of the expansions to release like some kind of friends list or something. Like, let me like invite my bro to the, you know, I mean, there's a friends list, but like, it would be cool to group up, you know, in like the same wild world or whatever, you know. A little bit easier than the way they have it nowadays. You know, maybe a better trade system, whatever. But you know, those are my like minor complaints with Sword and Shield. Some of the online infrastructure stuff is still a little baffling. You know, the way that they handle some of that. It'd be cool to see like a lot of some quality of life stuff in these updates too. I guess that could be potentially one of the pitfalls of this is that, you know, some new version revisions like totally overhaul systems that are in place in like, you know, the prior, you know, in the lesser versions of the games. And I wonder how drastic, you know, system changes might be in these expansions. I don't know. But what I do know is that it is, I think, a really good step forward for the way that they handle Pokemon going into the future. I personally like it. And I think they both look pretty good. There's two expansions. One in the summer, one in the fall. One is something. Oh, shit. What's it called? Shit. Pokemon expansions to Google. What's it called? Isle of Armor and Crown Tundra. It's $30 for the whole pass. There's two passes. There's one for Sword and one for Shield. So if you play both games, it'll cost you $60 for both passes. Each pass, like Sword and Shield, come with different Pokemon and different rivals and things like that. You know, the typical version differences. So it isn't just one lump sum purchase if you have both games. Sorry, my dogs are going absolute bonkers. Okay, I could have cut and like pretended like my dogs weren't going absolute bonkers, but I mean, it's 2020. It's all about presenting a real version of myself, you know? It's all about presenting a real version of myself. Much like the way Sony presented their logo. At CES 2020, PlayStation revealed the logo for the PlayStation 5. Being true to themselves, the logo is the exact same as the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 2. And for some reason, the internet thinks it's time to make fun of that. I was really confused, honestly, confused at the reactions to the PlayStation 5 logo. There were like a lot of headlines and just general takes online like, oh, Sony's phoning it in, unimaginative new logo for the PlayStation 5. As compared to what? What were they supposed to, what was it supposed to look like? I don't know what it was supposed to look like. It's the PS5. It's their branding. It's what it is. It is what it is. I truly have no clue what the hell people were expecting. The Xbox logo isn't any different. There's just more words under it. I don't get it. It's so weird. I guess the funny thing about it, and this would have nothing to do with like the takes of like, well, Sony's unimaginative new logo for the PlayStation 5, is that it was, you know, presented on a stage like, we're proud to present our new logo. And then it's like, oh yeah, well, of course. Of course that's it. But some of the takes have been super strange. But that's not the most exciting part about that. We are in the year of next-gen game consoles, baby. That's a good year for this show. That's a good year for you. That's a good year for video games. That we have the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5 coming out later this year. I have no effing clue what to expect, you know, on the power of these things. I'm not even going to get into, like, the leaked specs and the rumored specs and, like, the shit that Digital Foundry's talking about, because I have no fucking clue what any of that stuff means. I can, at a glance, tell you, like, oh yeah, that PC looks pretty good, but I have no clue what any of it means to the metal. Like, I have no clue. Like, if you're, I won't try to go in depth with anything like that until we have concrete, you know, a concrete rundown of these devices, and we have like footage of these devices and things to compare them to, because like I can't look at like the speculated leaked specs that like Digital Foundry's pumping out and like reading those teraflops and going, oh yeah, okay, I know exactly what that's going to look like. That's exactly in line with this. So it's going to look and perform like this, no better, no less. It's like, how the fuck are you people even talking about this? I have no clue what the hell you're saying. I just want to know how much this thing's going to cost. I want to know what games are going to be available for it on launch. And if Sony is going to have backwards compatibility ready on launch. The backwards compatibility thing is the thing that I am I mean, most excited about because it guarantees you a library of games on launch rather than like that launch drought where it's like, well, the launch titles suck. I guess I'll just fuck around with Resogun, you know? Just trying to scramble for an indie game that you might be able to play or something. Backwards compatibility fixes that entire issue. And with Xbox, you know, especially Xbox Game Pass, I mean, you buy an Xbox Series X and that thing's fully backwards compatible with Xbox, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. So, I mean, you have just the absolute sky's the limit when it comes to what to play on your Series X when it launches. Not to mention, will some of those backwards compatible games on the Series X get Series X enhancements like they do now with the One X? You know, a lot of original Xbox games get up-resed and touched up a bit running through the One X, which is really cool. So I think the Series X, you know, guaranteed is super exciting for an Xbox fan, you know, or somebody looking to get into the Xbox ecosystem, because you could like, oh, I missed out on Xbox One, you know, with full backwards compat and just the power of that thing, you could buy the Series X and subscribe to Game Pass and be fucking satisfyingly fed for a very long time. Not to mention all their first party new exclusives, launch titles, whatever they have planned for that will also be on Xbox Game Pass. So, you know, that's really exciting. So we know that much. Now with Sony stuff, I don't know. I have nothing to really go off on that. That's why this like next gen talk in this particular episode is kind of just like, Bill didn't really prepare a lot of news. So he's just gonna fart around on his hopes and dreams for next gen. Now I'm just hoping Sony has backwards compat ready to go. Because that would be nice, especially for multiplayer games and just carrying over things, you know, most especially because Sony has some massive exclusives coming out this year with Last of Us 2 and Ghost of Tsushima. So, and those are coming out right on the heels of next gen. And people are going to be wondering, you know, with backwards compatibility, will there be cross-gen ports of these games now? Because I keep seeing people bring that up all the time. And I want to yell at them and be like, guys, backwards compatibility, stop fucking talking about cross-gen ports. But then I feel like if I yell at them and tell them to stop talking about cross-gen ports, I feel like I'm going to look like an idiot and we're going to get cross-gen ports. And if you want next-gen enhancements to these old games, they won't come in a patch. You will have to buy that. So, you know, who the hell knows? I would hope with Last of Us 2 and Ghost of Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima especially, because that's coming out like in the summer, I think. And that's probably really close, 2 or 3 months out from next gen. I would hope, you know, in good faith, I could buy Ghost of Tsushima on PS4. And then, you know, if the PS5's backwards compatibility is ready to go and rock and roll at launch, that I could put that same disc in and Sony's first party studio, Sucker Punch, will have a patch ready that makes that shit sing on next generation hardware. You know, that would be my hope, you know. And I wouldn't have to buy some upgrade or an enhanced version or enhanced port. Backwards compatibility should remove all that stuff. And that's what I want to yell at people. But again, like I said, with Xbox, we know. With PS5, we don't know the full details of their backwards compatibility yet. You know, we have no clue. Because they announced it and then they kind of walked it back a little bit. I don't want to say the words walk it back, but we're kind of like, oh, you know, we still have some things we want to work on with that and make sure it's working correctly with all games, whatever, whatever. And it's like, man, I really think you guys should be using rhetoric like guaranteed on launch, because that's going to be a major selling point for me with Xbox, especially with so many service games. You know, if Sony doesn't nail backwards compatibility out the gate, it's going to make me a little less confident investing in things like Overwatch on console or Rainbow Six or Fortnite or any of these games on console. You know, you kind of need to nail that aspect of it. And I think they will. You know, I'm just playing devil's advocate of reading some words that they say that might mean that backwards compatibility might not be as fully featured on launch as we want. But it mostly just means they don't want to say anything they'll regret later. You know, if something is broken, it's most likely working. It's most likely fine. But we'll see. Exciting. Whenever Sony is announcing the full reveal of the console, I don't know. I'm anxiously awaiting like full rundowns of both. I want to gobble that shit up so fucking much. I'm so excited about that. This year will be really fun, really interesting year for these two companies. And a super interesting year for the Switch. Again, rumored Switch Pro announcements. Will they be real this time? Who knows? I feel like every year since I was born, we've had rumors about the Switch Pro. You know? Switch Revision this year, is it a Pro? Last year it was the Lite. Switch Revision this year, is it a Pro? Is it anything? Let's find out. You know, who knows? I mean, if Breath of the Wild 2 comes out this year, you know, running on a Switch Pro, and that shit's like, look at Breath of the Wild 2, running at a locked 30 frames per second. I say that as a joke, but I say that as a joke because Breath of the Wild had some nasty dips in certain spots. And I would just like a solid, a non-dippy Breath of the Wild 2. But no, most likely, I mean, I don't actually know how the power scaling of these tiny chips work, you know, with the Nintendo Switch in terms of like, you know, what is a realistic power increase per cost? You know, what's realistic to expect from a Switch Pro? You know, what do we get? I'm sure all that and more on a future Permadeath Weekly episode, but, it'll be a really interesting year, you know, and on top of all the new hardware, I mean, the first few months of this year, it's almost like all these developers and publishers are like, dude, next gen's coming. We got we got a lot of leftovers. Let's just dump them all in fucking March, April, and May. Let's just dump them all. Animal Crossing, Doom, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Cyberpunk, The Last of Us Part 2. Fucking chill out. Calm yourself. Heavy hitters coming soon. I can't wait, to be honest with you. I'm genuinely excited about these next few months. It's going to be really fun, especially for Animal Crossing. So it'll be a fun span of the show. And with that, I think that concludes the news that I have for you guys for this week's Permadeath Weekly. I don't really have much else I really want to say. I just want to get the show back rolling, talk about the Pokemon Direct, you know, get a little jazzed about next gen, you know, and just get the show back on your feeds. You know, I really am sorry about missing so many episodes, you know, for those of you who click this, you know, because there are numbers on the podcast feed who listen to the show. And it's disappointing to me. As much as I'll poke fun at myself with my Phil Spencer bit in the beginning of the episode, I'll make fun of myself, you know, for missing episodes and everything. But it is really actually legitimately super disappointing to fail on that goal, you know, because like I said in the beginning of the episode, we all have these things that we want to try to do for ourselves. And, you know, whether it be creatively or whether it just be from a personal or a social standpoint or whatever it is you want to do with yourself, you know, you set these goals and it always sucks when you fuck up and fail, right? And like, this is such an easily attainable one. Some people set goals for themselves that are so hard. You know, some people set goals for themselves that really require dedication and patience and love and support. And for me to sit down once a week for a half hour and talk to you guys, it takes nothing out of me. But of course, there are things in life that do get in the way, and there are things we have to go through and things we do. And for me, it's just a matter of getting home from work. What do I prioritize in any given day? And I ended up prioritizing myself and my free time rather than working on a show. And that's disappointing to me. You know, that sounds like, oh, Bill, no, man, you got to do you. It's like, no. This show is doing me. I like doing this show. There's absolutely zero reason for me to have been such a failure at doing the show weekly. And it sounds harsh using the word failure, but I let myself down again, setting a schedule for myself for a hobby of mine that I genuinely enjoy. So this time around, you know, I want to sit here and promise that I'll never miss an episode unless it's for like a holiday or something happens, you know, something important that I can't miss or, you know, just something unavoidable. Because right now I feel better about making things than I probably ever have. And I say that because I have started Twitch streaming for the third time I've started Twitch streaming, but this time the internet here finally can sustain it. And that's a nice milestone for me because it gives me a relaxing outlet to make content. You know, I don't have to sit here and edit things. I don't have to, you know, like labor over what I'm saying, you know, to do a Let's Play or some shit. I can just pop the camera on and hang out with people and play Tetris 99, hang out with people and play Sekiro and Hades. And, you know, so far it's been an absolute pleasure to do it. It's been a blast. You know, whether it's 4 people sitting in there, 9 people sitting in there, 12 people sitting in there, I don't care. It's just been so fun for me to share games with people. And it's really put me in a great mood towards making things. You know, meeting the people I've met playing Tetris, you know, and doing the bits, going along with the bits that we've been doing in chat for while playing Tetris. You know, it's been an absolute pleasure. I feel really good about it. And it has put me in the mood to really make things again. And you know, peaks and valleys with these things, right? Like the overlying message, I guess, of this episode, you know, is that, you know, we all have big aspirations for ourselves and we all want to set goals for ourselves, and we usually always let ourselves down. But it feels good in that moment to think you can achieve something. And so here I am again, you know, in the midst of feeling excited about myself, feeling excited about the stuff I'm making, you know, on Twitch, twitch.tv/PepperedHam, by the way. I'll throw a link to that in the description of this episode on YouTube. You can also find me on Twitter @PepperedHam. I stream pretty regularly throughout the week and on the weekends. But I feel good about that. I feel good about permadeath going into 2020. I feel good about the things I'll be making with Ebby and Kinross this year. We have some fun ideas for how we're doing our goaties this year. Our 2019 goaties, we haven't done those yet. That's what I'm talking about. And just spending another year with them and coming up with ideas for the channel, and some of them happening, some of them not, but it doesn't matter because, like, you know, it's fun even just to believe things get made, you know, just to believe that we'll make things together, because that's been a constant in my life for 6 years. So that's something I could be thankful for, whether it's been, you know, what we always dreamed of for or not. There is that creative outlet there, and I have it there to use, and that's what energizes me going into 2020. I have that, and I have Twitch, and I have people who support me, and people who want to hear the show weekly, and people who want to watch me stream, and people who have my back. And so going into 2020, I will say this right now. I will not miss another episode of Permadeath Weekly. Understand me? I will not miss another episode. I am making that promise again. I believe it this time, too. And with all that said, I already plugged my Twitter, but I'll plug it again. You can follow me on Twitter @PepperedHam. You can follow the show's Twitter @PermaPodcast. Links to all that are down below if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening on your podcast services, well, time to open another app and start following. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/PepperedHam. You can join our Discord. Links to that below. Also on YouTube. If not, again, find them somewhere else. You're going to have to open an app or something, buddy. Not right now. You're driving. What the fuck is wrong with you, you fucking asshole? God damn it, man. I got to feel guilty if you crash your car. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at what you're doing. My God. You know, I'm sitting here pouring my heart and soul, talking about how disappointing I am to myself, and you're driving and trying to join the Discord at the same time. I can't fucking take this shit anymore. Maybe I don't want to do this show with you. I'm done. I'm fucking done. You know? I'm so done with art. I'm so done with art. I'm so done making art. I'm so done thinking about art. It's just so worthless. I'm just gonna go make